Yeah.
Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
That is all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Full mount, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Sean Desay from Triumph MMA. Kevin Lee is in the studio. We'll talk to him in a little bit. And it has been 4 years of waiting for us to be able to say this announcement, but we are very proud to say that we are officially part of the iHeartRadio app talk format. So you can get us anytime you want to on your phone on iHeartRadio. So if you've not downloaded the app, make sure you do that, because we're everywhere. You can get the shows, any show you want to listen to, all the way back to when we started.
It's the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
It is the iHeartRadio Talk Network. We are proud to be a part of that. And as always, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook in the show, brought to you by the fine folks at Gun Lake Casino. So much fun, so close by. They are the ones that keep the show going, so big thanks to them. We got a lot to do today. John Moraga, he will stop by. He is taking on Demetrius Johnson this Saturday night on Fox, UFC on Fox 8. They are just calling it UFC Fox Saturdays, but officially it is the 8th one if you are playing at home and playing the board.
They keep changing these names over and over, right?
I mean, we're all just complaining.
I understand who's fighting. You know, I kind of like when they would just, you know, so-and-so versus so-and-so.
They're not going to do that with Johnson Moraga, though. I mean, as much as I'm looking forward to the fight in the flyweight championship.
Well, what's interesting is that you've got this main event between a guy who's defended. This will be his second defense of the belt that existed. It's not even a year old. Fighting a guy who's been in the UFC for 5 months and...
It's headlining a Fox card.
Headlining a Fox card, and the guy he's fighting, John Moraga, we'll talk to him a little bit later on, has fought twice, and much like Chris Weidman, you've never seen it because they've both been on Facebook.
Fought twice in the UFC?
Twice in the UFC.
Okay.
So, I mean, guy's been in the UFC for 5 months, two times, you've probably never seen him, and now he's going to be on Fox.
Good for him.
Awesome for him.
Awesome.
And, you know, and Sean, you and I have been talking about this, about how in 2013 you're seeing a lot of these new stars being born out, which is, of course, why I wanted to bring Kevin Lee, because I was excited when he was on Facebook trying to fight Kelvin Gastelum.
Oh, yeah.
That did not
That
did not come to fruition, but I was excited about it. But we're in a year where these guys are being born into new stars. Chris Weidman, obviously. Moraga very easily could be a flyweight champion, and I do not mean to disparage Demetrius Johnson, but it's a new organization, a new weight class with a lot of new fighters that you don't know about. And let's face it, Demetrius went to a draw with Ian McCall. You can make an argument he didn't do very well against Dodson early on in that fight and kind of had to shift his whole gear, and had that been a 3-round versus a 5-round, you probably would have a different champion right now.
Yeah, he's not going to beat Anderson Silva, though. I mean, there's new stars being, but you said Chris Weidman.
Okay.
Chris Weidman beat Anderson Silva.
No.
If he beats Demetrius Johnson, this is a very interesting card to look at. And I know
Demetrius Johnson can beat Anderson Silva.
Yes, that's what I. That's exactly
this whole
what
show
I said.
Just
I'm
got off.
The,
yeah,
I'm just throwing it off.
I find this a very interesting Fox on UFC card because we had to reset it before the show for me, and I'm used to they've had some star power here the past couple times on network television, and Demetrius Johnson, a champion. But would you say he's a star yet? I'm not sure.
Not yet, but this weight class is super new, and I think it's hard to make a star that's on
it's
his...
Saturday in July in the summer. This one's going to be a tough one.
Well, remember, his first defense was also on Fox in January in Chicago.
That's a little different. We're sitting in the middle of winter, and...
It's still on Fox.
No, it's... I'm with you.
The
it's on
The crown jewel of the sport.
Yes, the crown jewel of the sport, Fox TV. It's on after Cops, I think, and...
I thought you were a fan of this sport. Why are you even on this show, really?
No, I'm just making the point. You said...
Give me a bigger platform than Fox TV.
No, there's not a bigger platform.
Well, then...
I'm curious to see how this does. That's what I
you
want.
You sound curious.
I'm very curious to see how this does. Is this going to be Tito Ortiz and Stefan Bonner on this card?
They're not fighting.
That's not happening
Stop
yet?
Stop it.
Okay. Well, you posted it earlier on our Facebook this week.
I did, but they're not fighting yet.
Well, don't post things unless you want me to ask about them.
Fair enough.
I thought it was official.
Yeah, see?
Because it was Facebook official.
Well, anything that comes out of your mouth is always official.
See, that's you're good in charge of the Facebook page.
That is good to know.
You and your friend.
I'm definitely
going to
kill you with kindness today, by the way.
That's terrific. So, Sean, when you've got Demetrius and Moraga going against each other, A, it's expected to be a great fight, but you've got a two-time All-American wrestler going against a guy who just has
cardio and quickness for days. What do you think you're going to see in this fight?
Well, of course, whenever you deal with the 125ers, you got a lot of speed. Every element of MMA is exposed. I mean, these guys go from the striking, kicking, clinching, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and it just goes back and forth. And all that happens within a minute and a half.
And you saw that when Demetrius took on John Dodson in Chicago.
It was amazing. You know, it's almost hard to keep up with because there's so much stuff that happens. And then after about three rounds, when you go in the championship rounds, then you start scratching your head going, oh, my God, these guys are machines. They're so athletically gifted with what they're doing out there. It's just it's almost amazing. And I'm not saying it's an overkill by all means, but it's just the way they put it all together and they don't stop and they just keep going. It kind of just shows you the difference of why we need different weight classes, you know, because when we saw Demetrius Johnson against Dominic Cruz, everyone saw him out hustling Dominic, but Dominic was just the bigger guy. And we're only talking about 10 pounds difference now.
And I believe
so that it is justified to have this weight class.
Sure it is. And I believe that was what I said in that fight. I said, if there's a 125, Demetrius Johnson is your champ, and
exactly.
He is your champ.
Yeah.
But what's fascinating for the second time around, another Fox card, is that, to Ken's point, can these guys be made into stars? Because this is going to be their second go-around as the main event of this card, and you're in absolute bewilderment by what's happening at this fight, but you and I are on a level of enjoying the sport that maybe the casual guy
right.
just gets done watching
True.
Cops might not be.
I think I can kind of go. I don't like to side with Ken too much, but on this one,
it's
I don't.
Really good for your health.
Yeah, it's but. Not. But I don't think these guys can carry a pay per view if that's what we're asking.
And we're not asking pay per view level, but we are asking these guys to kind of make an impact on Fox and carry that UFC brand. I mean, we're seeing a debut show in August from Fox Sports 1, so obviously they're going to stack it. But I mean, that Chael Sonnen Silva fight is going to draw on a lot more viewers if it's on Fox than this fight is as a championship-level fight. The other thing, too, we have a problem with as far as that casual fan goes, and I've complained about it every time, and you're always amazed when we come into the offices on Mondays after these cards. I walk in, and you go, did you see Johnson Dodson? I'm like, yep, neither of them could finish each other. You go, what? You didn't love that to death? Great fight, two amazing fighters. Can somebody finish the fight? And Johnson's had a problem with that. Now, Moraga, he's been able to finish his two UFC fights,
he
correct?
He has, yes. One sub, one KO.
So I think people want to see some finishes in these championship fights. We're all waiting, like, with bated breath to not see the next GSP strategy to just keep that belt and never have to actually engage too much. I mean, I don't want to discredit GSP. He's done some awesome things in his fights. And since his return, I mean, that was an amazing fight he had. But that's where we're looking when we see these fights. Chuck Liddell has said it. That's the problem with UFC. Guys aren't going out there to finish fights. You've got these guys on a huge stage.
Okay, yeah, okay, yes, let me just pause you for just a second and make two slight corrections. Mm. Number one, as I've said for the last 3 weeks, Chael Sonnen is fighting Shogun Hua, not Vanderlei Silva.
I didn't say Vanderlei.
Yes, you did.
Oh, did I?
Yes, you did.
Oh, sorry.
Number two.
Can he fight Vanderlei?
Number two, the way GSP fights and John Dodson and Demetrius, their fight, it was two totally different fights in my. They're both trying to finish the fight. In my mind, Dodson and Johnson went at it.
But I said, can they finish it, though?
But there's a difference, to me, anyway, between GSP strategically nullifying your game, which most people would equal boring,
mm-hmm.
and then two guys at 125 pounds just trying every single technique they've ever been taught in their entire life for 25 minutes and still not able to finish the other dude.
You've got intent and impact there, and there's definitely a difference in intent. I'll give you that. But the impact on a casual viewers, they saw five rounds of a fight where neither guy was able to implement that game plan the way they could to dominate another one, and it was in a championship level fight. You really want to see these guys, and there's some great fighters there. We're waiting to see somebody break out. I want to see Demetrius Johnson break out and just
but
finish
I don't,
a guy.
I, and Sean, just and jump in here, please, because I don't know that I need to see every guy that holds a belt demolish
no,
everybody
but we've
in
seen
front of
decision,
him.
Decision, 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 majority draw. This is this guy's highlight reel as far as the UFC. He's
but
your
as
champion.
Long as the decisions are like, you know, I mean, like split decisions kind of go either way or whatever. But when it's like totally unanimous, and you're seeing really good, good skill sets being out put out there.
I told you that. The skill sets, I think, are amazing and maybe some of the best in the UFC. But when you sit down and watch it for that 25 minutes, you're seeing that. You've seen it after the first 5 minutes.
Right.
Somebody do something different. And I don't know. I mean, these are elite fighters well beyond anything I can comprehend. So maybe at that point, and I've said it, they can't do anything different with that fighter, and they have to keep implementing that game plan. But I said it about this division a couple of fights ago, and it keeps happening. So let's see what happens on this biggest stage that, like you said, Eric.
Well, Demetrius Dodson came in. He had, I think, all finishes on his record.
Yes.
I don't think he had a decision never passed the third round.
Are you jinxing this fight for no finish on it?
I'm just saying, with Johnson, you know, the champ that he is, he knew what Dodson brought to the table. I think he got dropped a couple of times by Dodson and was able to say, okay, let's see how you handle yourself in the deep waters, because you've never been there.
It was a good fight. There's no question there. This is the look you gave me when I said,
it was a pretty good fight. It was a brilliant fight in my mind. You have a champion.
I mean, he gets accused of the same thing.
But again, Mayweather's owning the guys and just doesn't want to finish them or cannot. However you want. I don't want to get into that debate.
Yeah.
I'm saying when you see George St. Pierre punch Josh Koscheck in the same eye for 25 straight minutes, that is him nullifying Josh's game and not trying to finish him. When you see these two guys in Chicago in January trying to murder each other, and midway through that third round, Demetrius knows he's in trouble, goes back to the corner, and they go, what are you doing? And he changes his game plan and wins those last two rounds against Dodson and keeps his belt. That, to me, is the pinnacle of what this sport is supposed to be about. It is not supposed to be Anderson Silva walks across the ring, dodges three times, decides to punch you in the eye, knocks you out, and takes his belt home. That's not a sport.
That didn't happen this time.
Not this time it didn't. That's not a sport. That's
his
a spectacle.
Chin, not his eye.
You know?
His chin.
I think you're putting me way over on one side with these fights, where I'm sort of just kind of, I'm a little contradictory here.
I like a knockout and a finish just as much as
everybody
the next guy
does. But
I really do. But it's really hard, man. I mean,
it is hard. But that's where we start putting these pieces together, and this is where I like to say, what are we doing as far as the UFC? It's interesting to kind of look at their game plan, so to speak. Like you said, this isn't the WWE. You can't decide who wins and loses. So you have to make sure that you're putting these matchups in spots where they're going to draw viewers, we're going to have your best fights. They've got so much product they have to put out now. It's going to be damn near impossible for them to every single time put A-level fighters in that main event, especially on these Fox Sports 1 cards coming up. The Fox shows, like you said, though, Eric, they're the biggest stage for these fighters.
But you're spotlighting the best example of what this sport can do, in my mind.
But I'm looking at the whole card. Where is that other fighter, for lack of a better fighter to pick out of the hat, so to speak? Where's the Rashad Evans? Where's the former champ that I get to see maybe on this card somewhere that's going to draw those viewers
in? He's not a former champ, but he's in the co-main event because Rory McDonald is going to have to decide how he's going to beat George St. Pierre.
You're right,
that's what he's going to have to do.
That's not been there.
Wait, so you're picking Rory over
Hands down. Let's just jump ahead.
Really?
Yes.
Wait, nice. Real quick. So do you think Demetrius is going to win?
I don't know. I love the way Mayorga fights, and I think he's going to put it to Demetrius. And Demetrius has something in the back of his head that you're woefully aware of, and Sean, you will be, and I've been there. He just had a child.
Mm.
Just. And so that sort of distraction might be the tiny glimpse that you're looking for, Ken, where a guy can finish Demetrius. Because all it's going to take...
I didn't know he had a kid.
Just had a kid.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
Yes, congratulations. But you will know this here soon. Those first couple weeks are life changing.
Yes. I don't care what kind of nanny you hire.
You can even
bring in your mother-in-law, which is what I'm doing.
Right, for sure. It's still going to
be great food,
by the way.
We know you want to talk about this. This is still an entirely different show.
Great food.
The co-main event, though, is going to be what I think is going to be what most people will be talking about on Sunday morning between Rory McDonald and Jake Ellenberger. And
Rory's only got the loss against Condit on his record.
I think at 170 pounds, he's just been the guy to beat, and I don't think that Ellenberger's going to be that guy.
Man, Jake's got such great one-punch knockout power, and all it takes is just one, and we've seen that already.
I think this could be the best fight on the card.
I think the co-main event is going to be the main event. I'm agreeing with you on that.
The problem with the co-main being the main, if we want to stay in that same vein that we were talking about earlier, is that this isn't a guy that most casual fans realize, hey, if he wins this fight, he might be deciding whether or not he's going to go after that belt that George St. Pierre has or not. You know, that'll be a very interesting thing we might get to talk about next week.
Yeah, certainly. But, I mean, I think it's more likely that Rory's going to get to fight Johnny Hendricks, but let's not get there. I think, though, that this is going to be a brilliant fight that people are going to be super excited to talk about after it's all said and done.
So you're picking Hendricks.
We talked about that last week. This could be a fascinating year where you have
I think GSP will beat him, retire, and then it's vacant, and Roy or whoever else.
See, that's what I said last week.
That's a possibility.
Sorry, I wasn't here last week. I was taking care of some business.
On the iHeartRadio Talk app, you can listen to the show.
I listened to it this morning, by the way.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I did. All right.
So you didn't remember from this morning what we talked about. So you're admitting that.
You see me drinking my coffee now.
Also on the card, Robbie Lawler will be taking on Bobby Volker. That'll be a great fight. And then another women's match kicking it all off. You will have Liz Carmouche. She is back taking on Jessica Andre. And there is a rumor, we'll talk about it a little bit later on, that they might be expanding that whole plan of the women's division, depending on what happens with Misha Tate. But we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Expanding what?
Making, perhaps. I'll tell you about
okay,
it.
Okay, all right. We'll wait for the segment later.
On the way, John Moraga, he will stop by, and he'll talk about his fight with Demetrius Johnson. He'll also talk about how he's not really a fan of social media and really not a fan of doing interviews, so this could be interesting. Plus, we will talk to Kevin Lee. He is here. He is undefeated, and you will see him in the UFC very soon, I promise you. We'll talk to him next. It's Way of the Warrior.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, Sean Desay from Triumph MMA, and a very special treat today, as we don't very often get to talk to the future of the sport, but because, Sean, you are training perhaps one of the futures of the sport. Kevin Lee is in here with us. He is undefeated, fresh off his victory from last Friday night,
yeah. Yes. Chris Lytle had a show down in Indianapolis, so we went down there and wrecked the house.
Nice. So, Kevin, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome, and you are more than welcome to come anytime you would like to. But let's introduce yourself to people and, you know, maybe what your backstory is. You're undefeated. You're 5-0, right?
Yep.
And so how did you get your start? Where are you from?
I got my start over in Detroit. I'm from Detroit. And
Before it went bankrupt, right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's always been bankrupt as long as I've been there. So I don't know the difference. But I started just about right after high school. I went in and I just signed up for my first AMI fight, and then I had it. And
you had, if I remember the story correctly, you hadn't even really trained. Right?
No.
I'll fight that guy.
Yeah, yep. I went in looking for a Jits tournament, and then they said they needed a fight, and I was like, hey, whatever. Hey,
take that robe off and put these gloves on instead.
That had been my dream since I started wrestling. You know, I saw.
And had you wrestled as from a tiny child all the way through high school? Or
No. I started sophomore year.
Gotcha.
So I had a real late start to wrestling, and I'm wrestling guys who wrestled from, you know, 3 years old, 4 years old. But I still made it to the state tournament, and, you know, I still got to wrestle in college. So it was fun, and I used that as motivation to get into MMA. I wanted to get into MMA, and wrestling was the only way I could do it at such a young age. So I just went ahead and
here you are, undefeated. And like I said in segment one last week, you were trying to call out Kevin Gastelum, who lost his opponent.
Yes.
See if you could fight in that one's in Indy, right?
Yeah, yeah. I want that. I want to be on the Indianapolis card. Went down there. So.
And I know you obviously much better than those who are listening to this right now. So here's the problem from my perspective, is that you are the dark horse in this thing, in that they don't know much about you. And they're trying to build this poor kid up, and you would have gone in and just wrecked the kid. And essentially ruined all of his tough lineage that they had built up by him beating Uriah Hall, and they would have been like, well, now what do we do? We've never even heard of this guy from Grand Rapids who just knocked him on his head.
It's not my problem. So.
It's not your problem, but I'm telling you that, you know, like, calling those guys out might not be, you know, something that's going to work very well for you. I hope it does. I was excited to see if you were going to fight him, but they clearly want to give him a tomato can so that he can keep winning.
But, you know, they always say if you don't, no, close mouth, don't get fed. So
absolutely.
I'm an ex for it.
So do you is there a plan next? I mean, you're a very busy fighter in that you take a lot of fights, or as many as you can. Do you have one lined up next, assuming that you don't get the big call?
No, not yet, but I will. I'm hoping by 2014 I'll be able to. So if I have to do two or three more this week,
it's gonna be a busy week for you.
Knock it down now. Get it all done.
Like, no, Dana, what is the number, Dana? Because I'll just do them this week.
Exactly. If he tells me do three this week, we can do Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm fine with that. You know, as long as I don't get any cuts or anything, whatever.
And it can scale up in weight, so you don't have to keep cutting weight.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
start
totally
at 55, and we'll go up. Yeah. So Kevin Lee is joining us, and you'll kind of sit in for the rest of the show. It's a pleasure to have you. We were talking in segment one about Demetrius Johnson and John Moraga. They are in the main event tomorrow night, UFC on Fox. And Ken was talking about how most people want to see finishes. And as a fighter, somebody who's coming up and somebody who wants to test their will against somebody else, which do you prefer? I mean, as a fighter, I'm guessing you prefer to finish it quickly so you don't take damage, but which do you admire more?
I admire the guys who can shut down a guy's game plan. And, you know, you can kind of see it when guys take on these big fighters, you know, and they just completely shut down their game. And that's really hard to do. It's really hard to put away. You know, there's no easy fights in the UFC. And it's really hard to put away some of these guys, you know. And I just fought a guy, and he was tough as nails, and I underestimated him. And he went through three large cuts, and, you know, he had a broken jaw. And, I tried to put him away in that second, and he just kept powering through it, you know. Some guys just, especially at the higher levels, some guys know how not to get finished, you know. And
right.
And no one wants to get knocked out on national television, you know. Even if you're losing the fight, so it's all right. I'll put up a good fight. But, you know, I admire the guys who can go out there and dominate their opponent and not give them an inch, you know. And if the finish comes in the first round, so be it. If it goes five rounds, I'm okay with that. I think what draws the casual fans in is the UFC itself and not the brand. You know, I don't think casual guys, after they're watching an episode of Cops, goes, you know, hey, I want to see Benson Henderson fight tonight, or, you know, I want to see Demetrius Johnson. They just go, oh, they're UFC fights tonight.
Fights on, yeah.
Yeah, they're UFC fights, and I want to see that. And I think that's how you build stars. And I think we saw it with the last Demetrius Johnson card, too. It did pretty good. It went, I think, like 5 million views or something like that.
For sure.
You know, and no one had heard of Johnson at this point. So I think with this being a second card, it'll do a lot better than expected.
Do you feel pressure when you're coming up as a fighter and you're looking to get on that UFC radar to finish fights? Because you're going to have guys that essentially end up on paper for a lot of guys that before they get noticed, and you're going to have these two sheets of paper, and you're going to be on one, and another guy's going to be on the other one, and you're both going to be 5-0. If
True.
You've got four TKOs versus one decision against that guy's five decisions,
yeah,
aren't you in a better position?
True, you are, yeah. And you know, that was something that I worried about, especially like starting out my career. But, you know, as I got... Because I was fighting really tough guys, you know. Mm-hmm. I fought Mansoor Barnoui, who was 7-0 at the time, and I was only 1-0. And you know, I went in there and I was looking for the finish, and you know, I had maybe four or five attempts to do it, and I didn't get it. But that kind of, I think it was the nerves of being in that position where, okay, I got, if I finish this guy, you know, then something's really gonna happen. I think it was the nerves that ultimately I didn't get it. But after that fight, and I got the confidence, and I just start going in there just to fight, you know, I started really finishing guys and really putting on more fun fights than, you know, being nervous and
worrying
about
the finish. Is it easier to finish if you're not worrying about the finish?
Yeah. It's if you're looking for the knockout, you're not going to get it. You know, it's much easier just to go in there and just look to dominate the guy. And when you dominate someone, you're gonna finish them.
Toughest guys in the UFC, though, so it's a big step, Sean.
Well, when Kevin did his fourth fight, I think he was actually kind of looking for the knockout, and he ended up getting the guillotine choke. So it was kind of weird, you know. I could see it, you know, because I've worked with him for so many months and years now, and I could see he was really going for the punches, and I was like, yeah. But then the guy stuck his neck out, and he made a smart decision. He's like, you know what? A finish is a finish. Let's just put this thing away.
Right.
And then after the fight, he's like, yeah, I was trying to knock the guy out, but, dude, he gave me his neck. I was like, yeah, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. So sometimes, man, it goes either way.
Absolutely. Kevin Lee, thank you for joining us, and we look forward to having you back when you get that call.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
All right, and we will talk to John Moraga here in a second, but before we do that, a couple other things that popped up this week. Number one, Chael Sonnen, who is not fighting Wanderlei Silva, he's fighting Shogun, says that after that fight, he's going to move back down to 185. Is that a likely thing, Sean, do you think? I mean,
for the Wanderlei Silva fight that I really want to happen?
Yes, for that one, clearly.
I mean, you know, if 185, if Anderson's not holding the belt, and if he wants to try to go and do his sales pitch to get, you know, Chris Weidman, I mean, I think Weidman's wrestling, MMA wrestling, is a whole lot light years beyond than, you know, most of the other guys in that division. And yeah,
does that include Chael Sonnen?
What I was trying to say is that Chael's got great Olympic wrestling, but going into like MMA fighting, the way Weidman sets it up with his punches and stuff, his takedowns, I think are the best. I think what he does is phenomenal, and he does it in a way where it looks so effortlessly. I mean, he just, the way he does it, when Chael does it, it looks like he's forcing it and he's rushing it. So, I mean,
well, and there's an extra element to Weidman's game in that once it gets to the ground, he actually knows jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu, big time jiu-jitsu.
So it's a huge difference.
But, you know, right when Weidman got the belt, it was really funny to see how all these people were like, oh, I could beat Weidman, I can beat Weidman. Dude, that's probably why Chael Sonnen's like, well, you know what, I'll beat all you guys and I can beat Weidman as well.
Right.
All in the same night or whatever. So
that'd be fun. Let's do that.
Let's a Royal Rumble? Robin. Is that what you want? Okay,
something for the one.
Guy's always about wrestling.
At some point in February, they're going to have the Chael Sonnen Invitational that Ken will set up that will just be everyone that Chael wants to fight in one night, regardless of winning or losing. He always moves
setting
on.
Setting up brackets.
And so, speaking of Weidman and Anderson, lots of people coming out of the woodwork that aren't at 185 pounds saying that this is kind of the end of an era of Anderson Silva. Cesar Gracie coming out saying that you're going to see Anderson losing a lot more as...
I don't believe a word what Cesar Gracie says.
Whoa. Just in general or just on this particular topic?
When it comes to mixed martial arts.
Oh, well, that's still pretty aggressive statement.
Yeah, that's pretty much everything in general.
Okay. You know,
he might be a nice
right?
guy. We could have, you know, get up one more and have an espresso or whatever. But when it comes to MMA, I'm not trying to like go after him, but I think he's a little bit clueless about a lot of things.
Okay, but let's get back to the issue at hand.
Right.
Do you at least agree with him that maybe some of the veneer has rubbed off of Anderson, or do you think this was an absolute fluke?
I don't know. I don't believe in flukes. I think Anderson he made a mistake. I don't think he's going to come back and do a complete different version of 2.0 Anderson. I think he's still going to come out. He's always going to fight the way he fights. He's never really changed his style over, you know what I mean? He's going to, you know, and if he beats Weidman in December, right? That's December they're doing the fight now.
Yep. Yeah.
If he beats him, he's going to beat him with his own style. He's not going to do anything creative. Anderson is dude, he's not going away. The only time he'll go away is when you see it. I don't want to use Chuck Liddell, but when you see that Chuck Liddell last few fights happening,
but
Anderson,
we talked about that last time, because the first time we saw Chuck start that slide, we didn't think it was a slide. We thought he got caught. Oh, every Friday gets caught, and we're gonna see a lot of that in December. We're gonna get to decide whether or not he's going to lose a lot more or not. I don't think he's going to fight a lot more. I mean, that's why I disagree with this statement in general. I don't think we're going to see maybe four more fights.
He says he's going to do all 10.
I don't know.
I mean, he'll definitely be like 47 by the time all 10 are done.
Is he going to keep fighting? Maybe we start a master's division inside the UFC?
Citizens belt.
Let everybody have all the TRT want?
As far as his,
put
era,
it in water
his
bottles.
Era and all that going away, it won't go away. But, you know, hey, you never know. It's hard to predict.
I don't like how you glossed over my water bottle TRT idea.
I like the water bottle of TRT. And speaking of TRT, and we'll talk to John Moraga here in a second, but Chael has been okayed for TRT against
Shogun. Oh, yeah, I was
going to
say, make that clear. It's not John Moraga.
14-1, baby.
14-1 indeed. All right.
Why are you on the other side of the room, by the way, now? What happened there?
When we get back, we will teach Sean how to broadcast, and we will talk to John Moraga. It is Way of the Warrior, brought to you by Gun Lake Casino, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans and Sean Desay from Triumph MMA, UFC on Fox Saturday night. Demetrius Johnson going to be taking on our guest who joins us. It is John Moraga. John, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
We are excellent here. Huge night of fights Saturday night on Fox. You are taking on Demetrius Johnson. 5 months in the UFC and you're at the door, so to speak, of this title. What does this feel like to you?
No, it's a little bit surreal, but it just feels like, no, I feel like I earned it. So it's been a long time coming. It did happen pretty quick once I got into the UFC, but the time before that, it just seemed like it would take so long for anything to happen. I think I paid my dues. I sacrificed sacrificed, and I made my sacrifice, and I paid my dues. So I think I definitely deserve where I'm at, and I feel like I earned it. So.
And I know that you've said this in a number of other interviews, and what's unfortunate about this sport is that it's reached this mainstream appeal, and that people just think that your career starts in the UFC, and they forget about the struggle it took for you to get here. But what people don't know is that you've got a game plan that can finish Demetrius Johnson, and this could be a brilliantly fascinating fight for people to watch on Saturday night.
Yeah, and I have every intention of doing that. You know, I'm going to make, you know, regardless of what happens inside there, however he approaches this fight, I'm going to have to kind of adapt, you know, to make sure I win first and foremost. But I can assure everybody that every second that I'm in there, I'm going for the finish. I'm making this an exciting fight. You know, as exciting as he'll let me. But, you know, if he runs around the whole time and doesn't want to make it exciting, you know, I'm going to find a way. Well, I'm going to find a way to get my hands on him and put on a great fight for everybody.
John Moraga joining us. He is taking on Demetrius Johnson, UFC on Fox 8 this Saturday night. And we've talked about it on the show a ton of times since they started the division. I mean, the belt isn't even a year old, but at 125 pounds, you guys encapsulate what makes this sport special, because the transitions from wrestling to jiu-jitsu to striking to Muay Thai are seamless and quick. Is this, and I know you've talked about how you're not really a big fan of doing these interviews and this kind of FaceTime because you're a fighter and you want to fight, but this is a platform for you to kind of show all of your skills off and all of the struggle that took for you to get here on Fox on Saturday night, right?
Yeah, I couldn't ask for anything better. You know, I'm in his hometown. I'm fighting on Fox Network TV. You know, I couldn't ask for anything better, man. I'm just ready to show the world what I've got. So I'm going to open a lot of eyes to this performance.
And that's what's fun to watch about this fight, because like you said, and I know you said it in another interview, not a lot of people know who you are. Even if they're UFC fans, they probably haven't seen your fights. But in the UFC, you finished the two that you've had in the UFC. And like I said, there's a real chance that you're going to finish Demetrius on Saturday night. For people who are just tuning in and getting to know about you, what's the number one thing they should watch out for on Saturday?
What's the number one thing they should watch out for?
For you, like what do you bring that they can look to be excited for on Saturday night?
Oh, man, you just check out my fighting spirit, man. I go in there and I don't play any games, you know what I'm saying? I'm going in there to hurt them. I'm going in there to finish and do my job. I'm not going in there to sit around and hopefully, you know, win each round and score points and do this or that. I'm going in there. As soon as he gives me an opening, I'm going to take it. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to take risks. I'm going to be exciting. I'm going to be the type of fighter that you like to see every time I fight.
And we are very excited to see that. John Moraga is joining us, UFC on Fox on Saturday night at 125 pounds, taking on Demetrius Johnson. And on Twitter, you can find him at Chicano John. And you tweeted the other day, and I found that interesting, given what you've said in a couple other interviews, that you have a hard time being professional on the social media when people come out and essentially pour on the haterade. Is it difficult to deal with that part of the job? Like, would you rather not have to have a Twitter account and a Facebook account and just focus on what you're supposed to do for a living?
No, you know, I like interact. You know, it's crazy to me that, you know, like that I actually have fans nowadays, you know, because I come from a simple life, man, simple background, and it's kind of cool that I can get to interact with them sometimes and you know, do that kind of stuff. But in that particular tweet, there was some people were just getting like way too personal. You know, they had made some racist comments, I believe, on that tweet, and that's what it really gets me worked up, because I come from a part of town where people are held accountable for what they say, you know what I'm saying? So
right.
It's not the normal thing for me to just be able to brush things off of that magnitude, or, you know, it's a trip to me how people just how they can just be tough guys online like that, you know what I'm saying? Because where I'm from, people are just we're not built like that, you know what I'm saying? We don't do stuff like that. That's petty. That's weak. That's female stuff.
Because there's no way that they're stepping in the cage to say that to your face. I assure you of that. But I want to go back to something you just said a second ago, that you're a simple guy, you're amazed that the fans that you have, but your story is one that I think everybody can attribute to. You've had some struggles, you've overcome those struggles, you're a father who takes brilliant care of his kids, and I think everybody wants to crowd around that sort of person who gets above all of that stuff and gets to this huge platform. You're on Fox on Saturday night, and I think that's why we all want to root for you, because you've got something that all of us would love to strive for, success.
Yeah, I guess it's a good story. You know, I wish I had something a little bit more interesting. You know, to me, It just sounds so cliche for me, you know, the guy with the bad background, bad upbringing or whatever. But, you know, it is what it is. It's not like I can lie about it. So, but, you know, I just try to be the best person I can be these days. And I love my kids with all my heart. And, you know, I am the person that you hear about. So, love me, hate me, whatever you do. you know, it doesn't matter to me. Just be a fan of my fighting. And if you watch me, you know, you will be.
Couple questions before we let you go, John Moraga. One, is the UFC going to let you wear that Tupac shirt as your walkout shirt on Fox?
No, they will not.
And two, we talked about this in the first segment, that a lot of people don't know that Demetrius just welcomed his first baby boy into the world. And that first 3 weeks, as you know, because you're a father, kind of wrecks your world regardless of what your plan is. Do you think that's going to be a distraction to him that he hasn't quite put into his game plan?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's his first kid. He has no clue, you know, what he's probably, you know, I don't know. He's already here. I don't know how much of a distraction it was. Maybe he didn't have enough time to actually let it distract him. I know he just recently had the baby, so you know, maybe not. But I'm sure he definitely wasn't focused the few days after he had him that he was there around with him.
Absolutely, that's for sure. John Moraga joining us. It is a pleasure to have talked to you for the first time. We hope you come back and jump on the show when you have that shiny belt hanging around your waist. Have a wonderful time on Saturday night. We look forward to your fight, UFC on Fox Saturday night. Take care, my friend.
Thank you guys for having me on.
And when we come back, we will break down the rest of what's going on in the UFC in the world of news. It is Way of the Warrior, brought to you by Gun Lake Casinos and available on the iHeartRadio new platform. I love saying that.
iHeartRadio Talk Network, right now. Download it.
Go get it. It's Way of the Warrior. It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans, Sean Desay from Triumph MMA. Kevin Lee is also in the studio. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and is part of the iHeartRadio Talk Network. And like I said, we've got some news to get through before we get out of here. UFC on Fox tomorrow night. It is going to be the 8th one. Demetrius Johnson taking on John Moraga, Rory McDonald and Jake Ellenberger, Robbie Lawler and Bobby Volker, and all of that stuff will be free. I found this to be super interesting, and Sean, I know that you love statistics and you love MMA math, but stat came out this week showing that the 2008 Olympic freestyle team for the United States is a perfect 29-0 in MMA.
Okay.
Isn't that I think that's a pretty
apparently
cool stat.
You misjudged his statistics.
Well, I'll talk
and
to
MMA
you
math.
Because
well, I mean, because
do you include athletes?
Well, Askren's included in that, Kevin Lee, as is Cormier, and I think that's a fun stat for those.
I mean,
I
get it.
For
get
guys
it,
who want to make that argument that wrestling is the perfect platform to get you to mixed martial arts, here's your case study.
You know, it is 100%. If someone were to come up to me, and I've said this on different interviews and numerous times, hey, my son or I want to get involved with mixed martial arts, I'm like, go take a wrestling class. Just go. Go and learn how to shoot a single and a double, because you're going to need it, 100%. I don't care who you are. You're getting punched in the face. If you're a Muay Thai champion for 50 years, you get punched in the face too many times, you're going to take a guy down.
Yes.
That's just the way. That's the way our body's built. That's our survival instinct, is you want to take somebody down. My second pro fight, I had no intentions on taking the guy down. Next thing you know, I'm bouncing off the cage, throwing him on the ground, throwing elbows. I'm like, what am I doing down here? And even my coach was like, what are you doing down there? I was like, I don't know. I'm just fighting. I want to win. That's
what,
it.
What are you doing down there?
Yeah. What's going on?
All right.
And I like your statistic, by the way. Yes, it's cool.
It's okay if you don't like it. It's fine.
No,
we have an open relationship on the show that you don't have to like everything that I say.
No.
I just think to pull four guys out of a stat from an Olympic team and go, well, they all four of them went to MMA and none of them beaten yet.
This is a statement I'll make.
And that was 5 years ago.
This is what I rather punch a jiu-jitsu guy in the face on the ground than a wrestler in the face on the ground. Because a wrestler will take it. The jiu-jitsu guy will freak out and he'll probably tap or not tap. He'll just say, oh, he cheated. He punched me in the back of the head, blah, blah, and then I end up beating him. But you punch a wrestler in the face, something weird happens to that guy. He gets angry, he gets up, and then he wants to really hurt you. But you punch a jiu-jitsu guy in the face, they kind of freak out a little bit.
All right.
That's just my experience.
That words of wisdom from Sean Desay. This is almost
in the middle of this. This feels uncomfortable.
This is nearly as good as the Sean Desay game show, Who the Hell Is That Guy? This is nearly as fun, but not so much.
Oh, we can go all day with this, man.
I know you can. All right, so I talked about it earlier. The UFC, it's a rumor out right now that they're thinking of starting another women's division in order to spotlight Miesha Tate, much in the same way that they spotlight Demetrius Johnson. He couldn't hang with Dominic Cruz because of the weight, so he drops 10 pounds and now he has the belt. If Miesha can't hang, which I think everybody in this room would assume is going to be the thing, put her down in a different weight class and put a belt around her
waist. So the UFC is going to start the UFC waterweight division. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to know, for as little exposure as we've had with the women's division overall. I mean, what are there, 5 fights so far?
Well, there's only 5 girls in the division, right?
No, there's 10 total.
Oh, there's 10.
But what I'm saying is, like, you've only seen 5 fights.
They really like what she's doing on The Ultimate Fighter.
All right. I guess. I mean,
this is speculation. I don't pay that much attention. Are you kidding?
Well,
I'm just throwing it out there, just trying to give you a reason why this might happen. I don't think it's a great idea. I'd rather see them at a catchweight, but then again, Ronda said she's not even moving.
So is it a weight class down or
it's
up?
The rumor is it's going to be a weight class down.
Oh, it's down?
Down.
Miesha's lighter than Ronda?
Yes.
So you're saying women at 125?
Correct.
That might be rough.
How so? Explain.
Well, what Ken is talking about with the men's 125, when you get women that are 125, you're going to have less finishes because of the simple fact of strength now. I mean, the bigger the girl is, the harder she's going to hit. That's
well, all we physics. Really get now are submissions. I mean, that's how most of these fights have been finished, unless Ken Winslow decides that the fights are over for no real reason.
True, but the lighter you go, you know, it's proven.
Sure.
The lighter you go, the less power. It's faster, no doubt, but there's going to be less power. So I think that's that's the wrong direction.
So we're going to add a women's division and Cyborg's still not going to be able to be near it.
Yeah, yeah. I think they should go 45. I think they should go up to the 45, open up a 45 weight class and then keep
but
the 35,
guess, okay,
not,
so,
not go the other
so
way.
So let me change the question then. Do you think that there's a volume of fighters out there that would allow another weight class? Like, do you think there's an interest to bring another one in?
Yeah, because in boxing, you have your most common weight classes for women's boxing is you get women who are, let's say, 35 up to 60. That's usually your most common weight classes with women's boxing.
Gotcha.
So, and then, you know, if you take any other athletic professional sport like soccer or any other thing, you know, that women are really aggressive at, they're not 125. When's the last time you've seen a 125er soccer on the women's Olympic team? No, they're probably around 45 pounds. You know what I mean? So I think that's the turn in the wrong direction. They should go 10 pounds the other way.
But you would say you would be okay with another division.
Oh, well, yeah, if they go in that direction, sure, because you're going to see, you know, I'm not trying to be, what's the word here?
Sexist?
Not sexist.
Pessimistic? Well,
prejudice towards a weight class that's lighter.
Misogynistic? Gotcha. No, wait,
ooh,
sorry, no.
Easy now. But it's just, I've seen women at 125 train, and I've seen them fight Muay Thai and stuff. There's just not enough power there. There just isn't.
Is there enough power in that division as it is? We've talked about that
a couple of times. Yeah, no, there is. And I've held mitts for a girl out in Vegas who hits like a dude. I was like, wow, you hit pretty hard.
Oh, I'm not saying they wouldn't whoop me up and down. I'm just asking about that division and then with each other in that division.
But like what you're saying, these elite fighters who are super trained athletes, whatever, at 125, I just don't see much happening there. That's all. So I think they should go up 10 pounds.
Well, hopefully they will go up 10 pounds. And one last bit of news that might be, if you're a Gina Carano fan, this might ring a little bit familiar, as Ronda Rousey is now going to be in Expendables 3. So the chances of her fulfilling her UFC contract and not just walking away get higher and higher and becoming a movie star.
Well, her specialty is going to be squinting to see enemies far away on the battlefield. So that should be a nice addition to the movie. Is that how we're going to end our first debut live week on the iHeartRadio Talk
and
Network?
I mean, it was...
This is what you get, iHeartRadio Talk Network!
This is much better than it was planned. Okay, all right. We will be back next week with whatever happened in the UFC on Fox on Saturday night. We will be back with Ken's plot prognostication of what Ronda Rousey will do for the rest of Expendables 3.
Wait till you hear Kim Winslow's superpower.
She is rumored to be the bad guy opposite Ronda Rousey, which is awesome. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook all weekend long. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.